You know, in a lot of places around the world, around the United States, there are majestic locations, beautiful viewpoints. And some of them have these devices that they mount, and sometimes they ask you to put a quarter in them, sometimes they're free. And they help you in your ability to really see more clearly or to see something off in the distance. Maybe you visited like a planetarium, or maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon, and you've been to Cabrillo National Monument. It's a famous place in San Diego up on Point Loma. And they have telescopes up there, and you can look all around and see things much clearer than you could see just with the human eye. But these telescopes, they really enable us to see things more clearly. And in that case, when we're looking at nature or viewpoints or these majestic places, it gives us this appreciation of God's handiwork. And so what it does, it reminds me of that being able to really see clearly is such a wonderful blessing. And it's just not something to be taken for granted, that's for sure. There's a great song. I want to play another song in the middle of this teaching. It's by the Booth Brothers, and you'll get a kick out of this. I've played it before. It's called He Saw It All.
Some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, the crippled man, did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. And you'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? To believe,
God really wants us to see clearly, too. And maybe having a vision. We talk about vision a lot, maybe going into the new year. It's right around the corner here, and it kind of causes me and maybe you as well to reflect and think and ask some questions. And one that I ask myself, not just in preparation for this teaching, but you know, in general, is how am I seeing spiritually? Or how am I hearing spiritually? How am I seeing spiritually? And then also, how does God want me to see? That's kind of a one question with two parts of it. How am I seeing, and how does God want me to see? So if you want to look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, this is a familiar verse. I think you probably have an inkling of an idea where I'm going with this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, just for a point of reference, let's go back to the idea I was talking about when he introduced his teaching about your telescope, a telescope. You go somewhere, you paint a corner, or you look through the telescope, what does it enable you to do? Well, it enables you to see something more clearly than you could see with what they call the naked eye, without any assistance, no visual aids. You wouldn't be able to see as clearly. And so, really, there are three main purposes of the telescope. Because what it does is it helps to make objects appear brighter than what we can see with the naked eye, and that they be put in greater contrast and that they be seen as large as possible. It has a tendency to magnify the object or objects that we are trying to see more clearly. And you know what? In a spiritual sense, the Spirit of God helps us to magnify, and God, in conjunction with the Spirit, helps those things that we need to really receive and understand more clearly. It helps for us to have that magnified to our understanding. It's God's will that the eyes of our understanding be what? Be enlightened. Why? So we can see more clearly. We can know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's just like a magnifying glass. I mean, I'm not saying that I need a magnifying glass every time I look at a piece of paper, but man, I'll tell you, some of the letters on those little bottles that you get are so stinking small. I got to find a magnifying glass, or you know what, I can't read it. I also sometimes need light, a little brighter light to look and see the letters more clearly. Boy, you talk about spiritual analogies. It's just incredible. So tonight, what do I want to do? I'm going to share five verses from God's Word that I prayerfully desire for all of us to amp up our ability, let's say, to utilize our spiritual telescopes so that we can get greater focus and we can learn some lessons in the process. So the first place I want to go, the first section is in Psalm 27, verse 4. And this is really interesting. There's these five sections. These five verses and sections are going to ask some questions, and they're all also going to make a statement where you'll see sort of the similarity amongst the different statements that are made. So here we go. Psalm 27:4. It says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now let's remember this. One thing I ask, one thing I have asked. You know, David was called a man after God's own heart, right? He could have wanted many things. But over and over and over in the book of Psalms and other places, David really returned his focus to God. He sought God more than any other earthly treasure. And so let's remember that, okay? One thing I ask. Now, in Mark 10, 21, there's a great record about Jesus who makes this statement to someone that he is working with, and he makes this statement where he says, one thing you lack. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus said, looking at him and loving him, said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This was the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, and he claimed to be righteous, but he is unwilling to give Jesus the one thing that Jesus asked him for. What was that? Himself. The young rich ruler was willing to impress Jesus with his track record, but he was unwilling to surrender his status, his self, his everything that he was. So first of all, one thing I ask. Number two, one thing you lack. And in Luke chapter 10, number 3, remember we're going to five things. Luke chapter 10, record of Martha and Mary. But the Lord answered her, verse 41, Luke 10, 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, one day, Mary and Martha had an unexpected house guest. Can you imagine? Jesus. And she toils over a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And where's Mary? Well, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus responds to Martha's complaint by saying, you are anxious and troubled with much serving. And you know what? She was so focused on doing a good thing that she missed out on the best thing. Number four. Number one, one thing I ask. Number two, one thing you lack. Number three, one thing is necessary. Number four, Jesus made this statement. John 9:25. Jesus said, he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I what? See. A man born blind in this record gets healed. And when he's interrogated by the religious leaders who did not like this at all, he does not present really a well-prepared speech. He didn't have any time to prepare it. And he also didn't get intimidated. He simply tells his story. He was blind and now he sees. As a response, Jesus declares the blind man seeing and the religious leaders blind. And finally, our fifth section is in Philippians chapter 3. I just think it's so fascinating that really these five verses help to help us to bring into focus more clearly so that we too can be encouraged. One thing I ask, one thing you lack, one thing is necessary, one thing I know. And finally in Philippians 3:13 and 14, Paul says, by revelation, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting those things what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't let the baggage, let's say, of his past dictate to him where he was going, how to move forward. He was focused. He knew the goal, and he wasn't about to waver. He makes this incredible declaration in Philippians chapter 3. What was his pedigree? What was his background? You know, he would be considered the Pharisee of Pharisees. He had everything going on for him. And yet, he laid down his life to do what? To follow Jesus. And so briefly, we've got five verses, but there's one singular lesson that can be learned from all these different records. And they highlight five different people from five different walks of life, yet each one of them point to the same lesson. David said, one thing I ask. The young man who was rich was confronted by Jesus, who told him, one thing you lack. And Martha was told by Jesus, one thing is necessary. And the blind man said, one thing I know. And Paul, finally, in Philippians chapter 3, said, one thing I do. So, in conclusion and in summary, what is that lesson? That lesson is that our lives are to be singularly focused on God, and that we can seek Him in everything that we do, guys. Everything that we do, right? And then He is involved in everything that we do. You know, each one of these stories is not about being distracted by aims or money or serving or fear or our past, but being completely focused, like that telescope. Being completely centered on God. Jesus was the messenger. You don't have to look there, but I'm going to read this to you. It's Psalm 57:7. It says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. You know what? When we choose to follow Him, what can happen? Our hearts can be filled with joy. They can be filled with purpose. They can be filled with love. We find rest to our souls, and life is good. Praise just pours forth out of us. It just becomes inevitable. And when we fix our eyes on Him, we receive that the one thing that our souls truly long for, a meaningful and purposeful relationship with the Creator, our Heavenly Father. And that is what makes for a truly rewarding, a truly wonderful, and a truly fruitful life. So let's ask ourselves that question. I ask myself that question. How's my spiritual telescope? How's my focus? What am I focused on? What am I, you know, allowing, where am I allowing my thoughts to go? And I thought it was just such a great analogy to look at these records and to see about those five things that all were indicators of how people can be distracted, how I can be distracted. And yet, I just want to have that singular focus so that my heart is open and pure and locked in with God. And, man, I can't think of a greater or more noble purpose in this life that we live, amen? So God Almighty, here we are, your sons and daughters, and we're down here on this earth, Father, and we need help. We need to get refocused. We need to get the spiritual telescope of our lives out and do whatever it takes to get it focused on you and centered on you, Lord, because we just want to see you more clearly. And we know from your word, we read it right here in your word, you want us to be enlightened. You want us to have a greater clarity. So let's work together in partnership, Father, to just see this happen in such a great way that it is transforming. It is life-changing. And we just want our lives to offer praise and glory to you because of how good you truly are. Thank you, God, for a wonderful evening, what's left of it, the days ahead, that we just can walk and have no fear, no anxiety, no trepidation, because we know you're holding our hand and you hold our heart. And you're more concerned about the details of our lives sometimes, I think, than we are. So thank you for working with us, helping us, Father, showing us things, talking to us, helping us along the way. In the wonderful and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who soon will return. Amen.